Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday. I'm your host, Lavina Polite, and with me I have co-host Minister Teresa Sanders. Minister Sanders, you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, blessed. Praise God. I'm too blessed to be depressed.
That's right. I hear you. I definitely hear you. Well, I guess just let everyone know that we were expecting a special guest for this evening. We were unable to contact him. So at this point, We're just going to go on the air, continue our show, continue to give our blessings, and go to a couple callers. We have one caller on here that we should have kind of had him as a special guest, but we're going to put him on the air anyway, put him on the spot real quick. Good evening. Welcome to GQ Power Spill to Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
This is Minister Arthur L. Weathersley. And that's quite all right. You just don't know. I just came from a men's retreat, and I left a trail of fire from Waymark, Pennsylvania, down I-81 south to I-476 south to I-95 south to I-495 south to Governor House Circle where I live. You just don't know. I'm ready. I am ready.
I don't have to say welcome because, you know, you're always welcome to GQ Palace.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a pleasure to be here always. You know that.
Thank you. Thank you. So do you want to tell us about your retreat? How was it?
Oh, it was a blessed experience. I tell you, I've been with this retreat before. This is my home church out of Newark, New Jersey, called Gravel Hill Missionary Baptist Church. And every chance that I could get, even after I left there, I've always tried to make my way back to the retreat with the men because that's something that we traditionally have been doing, and it's always been a blessing. But this time was just truly awesome. I'm just thanking God for the brethren that attended, not just from our church, but there was a couple of pastors from different churches and a couple of members from their churches, and we had a grand time in the Lord. When we retreat, we retreat.
That's great. That's great. Minister Sanders, you there?
Yes, I am. I'm just enjoying Minister Arthur. I already knew it. I tell you, God,
what?
Mistake. Knew that when she said he should have been a special guest. We love you so much, Minister Arthur. He's always ahead. Yes, I knew it. I tell you, you've definitely been a strong power. So I thank God for you on tonight. Thank God for you on tonight.
Well, I just thank God for the program. I thank God for you both. I just got in here about a little less than an hour ago. So I got myself settled in here, and I said, well, let me call in. And then I was talking to the prophetess Martha, and I'm thinking of times. I got the times all mixed up, and she said, it's at 7. I said, well, let me call in earlier than I do. So here I be.
All right. Well, look, we actually do have Prophet Martha Stevens also, so I'm going to bring her on the line as well.
Amen.
Good evening, Martha. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Welcome to GQ Palace.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Would you guys like to tell what you're thankful for this evening?
Well, I'm actually thankful that, Lord Jesus, I thank God for everything. I've just been going through a whole lot today. I didn't get to go to church today, which I was so mad. But, you know, I hate church and my house is morning. So I thank God. I thank God for just letting me have a family together, because a family that prays together just stays together. You know, I just thank God for the things, and I hate y'all.
Great. Look, I know Minister Arthur, I know you're thanking God for you traveling so hard this weekend with this men's retreat.
Say that again.
I said I'm sure you're thanking God for keeping you safe and sound for your travels during this weekend.
Well, thank you very much. I was fortunate enough to stop by in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania on the way up, but I stopped by on the way back because I've been trying to catch up with my young pastor friend, and I finally cornered him. And I got a hold to him, and we had a good fellowship time. And matter of fact, he's telling me they're going to have to bring me back up there because they saw my book. And I gave him a copy of the book. I left it up there Friday, and he heard me talking about what the ministry is there. And he wants me to come up there and talk to the people about relationships.
That's perfect.
Amen.
That is perfect. I was actually talking to Minister Sanders about, you know, our special guest not coming today and how we're just going to, you know, just continue on. And one of the topics that we had spoke about was relationships.
Oh.
Wow. Yes.
God don't make mistakes.
Yeah.
He orders the steps.
Amen.
That's right. So we were talking about that earlier. So I know we want to bring you on a Friday. You were not available last Friday. We want to bring you on Friday's show so that you can have, like, a full interview, you know, about your book. You know,
no problem whatsoever.
Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about your book?
Yeah, this book I recently completed is just a short little guide, and it's primarily it dealt with the building of relationships, but I ended up focusing on marriage because marriage and family relationships are my ministry, and it just gives you an idea about what it takes to build a successful marriage based upon biblical principles. And the book is titled Unless God Builds the House. And you can find reference for that in Psalms 127:1, I believe, where it talks about unless the Lord builds the house, they that build that thing, they labor in vain. Meaning that if the Lord is not in that process, the building of it is gonna fall, it's gonna crumble.
Amen.
Right.
And also, I point out that there's a direct correlation in our relationships in marriage and also in family, but there's a direct correlation in those and in the relationship that God desires with us. And it's clear in the scriptures that if you're not doing right in your marriages and your family relationships, you're not doing it right with God. I don't care what you say or how you try to frame that thing. The Bible does not lie.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I'm going to ask a question. If I'm going to read a post that my eyes are on, and this makes for interesting discussion. Let me read this in response, and Minister Arthur to respond. I hope some callers are listening to this. This is from a post. I don't want to give any names. It says, if you want to cheat, don't get married. After 39 years of marriage, this man's been living a double life with his other family, also in the same church. Now, the wife knows about the girlfriend. The wife doesn't know about the girlfriend, even though they're going to the same church. The girlfriend told the wife. I believe the wife needs to divorce the man and let them both rub nipples together. Wife needs to get her due amount, and that's everything. This is church folks doing all this sinful thing, making the world folks look good. Okay, this is a post. So a woman came, a man posted this, just about his disgust of what happened. A woman came behind him, and this is what she posted. When we all stop looking for people for an example of Christ, when will we stop looking for people for an example from Christ? When will we know they're not perfect and neither are we? That's where we all
fall. Jesus.
That's where we all have fallen short. True, we may not be sleeping with the pastor, but we all have sinned. He who is without sin, please cast the first stone.
Oh,
churches
Lord, have mercy.
No people bondage. They get all worked up by others' sin when we have to give an account of our own. It is not until we get a clear understanding of our walk with God, these will not be exposed but prayed for, that they get back in right standards with God. That's why the church struggles to win the world, because we gossip about our own to the world instead of praying. This is rude and wrong. It's not that the world don't want to be saved. They just don't want to be judged as the world judges from you so-called Christians. So that right there sticks out like a sore thumb. I just actually happened to see that, and just amazing what we're talking about. I want to say this. I understand this guy's frustration of what he's saying about it, but this woman really, everything that was in my heart, she poured it out. Like, you know, as Christians, the first thing we do is try to run and admonish each other, you know, because we have something that we don't want to come out, so we can keep our demons in the closet by exposing each other. And then the world is looking like, oh, my God, all of this is going on in the same church you just invited me to? You know, we got to be mindful of that. He's trying to admonish, but the thing is, she's wondering, well, you got to be led by God to do things. It's a time to admonish, but it's a time to do it openly, and it's a time to do it privately. It happened behind the doors of the church. So why bring it to Facebook, you know, where you see us as leaders, you know, like you, Minister Arthur, trying to draw people in, you know, with the love of God. And so when you get stuff like this, they don't understand that when we profess to be a part of the body of Christ, you know, that people are looking at the body of Christ, especially let me be very clear here.
All
people
right.
who don't know, who are not saints of God, people who are in darkness, identify the body of Christ with the false prophets who swear that they have the Holy Spirit and they do this, you know, openly. And we're wondering when it's the Holy Spirit behaving. They're wondering when it's the Holy Spirit behaving that way. Well, I don't want any of it. I know confusion in the world. And that's what this woman was trying to display to him. She pretty much, I love the way she did it. She admonished him, but kind of, you know, in a respectful way. Was wrong what he said. It was just she shed light on what God was saying to that. So I want to go to you, Minister Arthur, and you know this is very powerful right here. You take it, touch on that for us.
Well, you know, this is what I'll say. First off, I totally believe that what we need to do is not to hire things behind closed door in the church. People need to understand what the church is. The church is a place for sick and hurting people.
All right.
Sick and hurting people. What that means is that nobody comes to the church unless they got some problems. So therefore, don't look at the church like it should be some pristine, perfect environment, because it's not. It never was intended to be that. And furthermore, I really hate that. Anytime I hear somebody start talking about perfection and I'm not perfect, you know what? That we got to get out of that mode of thinking, particularly if you're a Christian, because God does not look at us as being perfect. He does not expect us to be perfect. And guess what? We cannot be perfect in this body. We cannot. We live in sinful flesh. That thing is imperfect. Now, once you come into the faith and you come into Christ, and then you cultivate the relationship with Christ, what God does expect is that you allow the Holy Spirit to perfect or complete you in your relationship with Him. That's what perfect in the Bible means, complete. So therefore, when we start to talk about I'm not perfect or I'm only human, I'm sorry, that's just like a cop-out for me. So I don't even like that. I don't even like the terminology at all. But right. In the church, we need to come out and be and let people know when things are going wrong in the church, so it does not be a surprise to people when it happens. This is not a closed door society. It's not the churches should not be a closed door society. It's right. Not a private club. Jesus said, "Whosoever will, come." And that's what the church is supposed to be for. And unfortunately, in our churches, particularly in African-American churches, we got some issues, not just with marriages. We got a lot of issues that are traditionally taboo within our culture. That marriage may be one, but primarily I know one in particular. Anything dealing with psychological issues like that, we don't want to talk about that. We don't even want to whisper about it. And that's sad, because what we're doing is setting ourselves up for some serious repercussions behind those things, because we're not dealing with them, and when you don't deal with them, those things get worse. They get worse. They don't get better. They get worse.
Mm-hmm.
So my problem, my concern, what I would tell the people that you know, particularly with regard to this post about the marriages, what you have to understand is this. This is why God gave me the premise for writing this book. If you're a Christian, then you need to be looking to have a Christian marriage. And that marriage should be primarily, she should start at one place, God first. He needs to be the foundation of that marriage. And then after that, you and your prospective mate both need to be in the faith. They need to be Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want that process to work, you have to have a certain understanding between the two of you, and like-mindedness will allow that to happen. Because the love that comes forth from a relationship in Christ is quite different from the love that we're accustomed to doing outside of Christ. There's two different types of loves that we deal with outside of Christ. One of them is feelings, and the Greek says they call that philios. That's based upon some affection. I like you. I like you today. I might not like you tomorrow. Matter of fact, I might not like you the next minute. Feelings change. The other is called erotica or eros. That's based upon sexual desires or sexual compatibility. You know, that changes too. Your desires may change as you get older. And then after a while, I've known this to happen with some folk, that after a while, even the sex they get tired of. So those two, when you build relationships based upon those two types of love, they're not going to last. flat out not going to last.
Right.
But when you place your relationship based upon Christ and God at the center of that relationship, then you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to function within that process. And God's love is unconditional love. That's called agape love. That love deals with whatever issues that come up in that marriage. You don't run from them. You don't hide from them. You have what I call, Christ is the foundation, but I also identified four cornerstones: communication, commitment, honesty, and integrity. And communication means that from the onset of your courtship with one another, and we're talking about courtship leading to marriage, not courtship leading to boyfriend, girlfriend, or my boo or honey or whatever you want to call them, that's not biblical. God, when God joined Adam and Eve together, the Bible says that so shall a man leave his father. Oh, first of all, let's go back. When God formed Adam and brought Adam into the world, Adam came in, but he formed Adam by himself, and Adam was a complete man. He had total intelligence, and God brought before him every living creature, two of their kind, male and female. Adam named every single one of them. But the Bible lets us know he did not find a suitable help meet among those creations that God brought before him. And then sleep was, God allowed him to go to sleep. And God looked at him and said, it's not good for man to be alone. Now, some may say, but wait a minute. I thought God and Adam had a communication system going on between the two of them. They did. And when Genesis 1:26 says, let us create man in our image, understand this. God is not, he does not resemble what we look like. Irregardless of what pictures that you see, a poster of, you know, of that they have of Jesus and whatever, he don't look like that. And God does not look like that. God, the Bible says God is a spirit, and them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The image that God created man is that man was a spirit. God formed him from the dust, and then he blew his breath into him, that is called the pneuma, and man became a living soul. Adam's spirit communicated with God, because the Bible also says no man has ever seen God. So Adam and God had a relationship spiritually. But God looked at Adam in a different sense, because our God is a complete God, and he's a God of balance. And he said the natural Adam did not have anybody that he could relate to or help him. So God caused a sleep to fall upon him and pulled a rib out of his side, and then he formed a woman. Adam woke up and looked at her and said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Therefore, she is woman. And the Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Oh, let me stop right there. It didn't say cleave unto his husband. Cleave unto his wife. All right, I'll go on from there. Cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one as one flesh, and they were both naked and not ashamed. So, so my point is that in the relationship, when you're building that relationship, there should be total communication, and there should be no secrets brought into that marriage. From the point that you start talking to that individual, you should be able to share everything that has ever gone in your life to that person that you're looking to marry, because there's no reason for you to hold a secret. That's why Adam and Eve were naked and not ashamed. They knew everything about themselves. They were open. I mean, it's not just their physical nakedness. They both knew who they were. There was no hidden secrets or hidden agendas. There was no down low or anything like that.
And then, praise God, Minister Arthur, hold that thought right there. Oh, we definitely going to come back to that, buddy, because I tell you, you're really doing a wonderful job.
God be the glory.
To God be the glory. It's time to go to a song. We're going to come back on, and we're going to get back into this. This is good already.
Praise God.
Amen.
the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time, one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one.
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
everyone
else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When folk walked you off, said you
would never
make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? Oh, see, he is mine, and I am. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am.
Happy singing,
yeah, girl.
And that
he is mine.
He's mine.
I'm his.
He said it doesn't matter what
doesn't
I did.
What he
only sees me for who
he
I am.
He only sees me
yeah.
For who
He only sees me.
sing it one time. We're going to go past it. He is mine, oh, oh, oh.
He's mine, and I'm his.
Ooh.
It doesn't matter what I feel.
He only sees me for who I am.
He only sees me for who I am.
And the reason why he sees me for who I am, because he created me in his image and his likeness. He's mine.
He's mine.
I am his.
And I'm
it doesn't matter what I need.
It doesn't matter what I see.
He only sees me.
He only sees me for who I am.
He saw the best.
He saw the best.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello. Can everyone hear me?
I hear you.
Yes.
Okay. I said I'm not sure what was going on with the first song, but the second song was Marvin Sapp. He saw the best in me.
I know what was going on with that first song.
What was
that's
it?
That's my favorite song. Before I preached my initial sermon 11 years ago, I sang that song. Y'all messed me up with that.
it was something going on, and I heard it before I uploaded. I heard it today, and it was fine.
What are
so.
My steps? I'm telling you, that messed me up.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with it. Somebody.
That's all right. I got enough
song.
Of it.
I will pray. All right, good.
Praise God. I wanted to touch on that. What Minister Arthur was saying right before we went to the song. He really hit on some very powerful points, and I'm just writing with a pen and paper, you know, because I'm going into a marriage, and, you know, I'm so excited about it. Yeah, I got to throw that in there again. I'm so happy.
Praise the Lord.
Throw that in there because it's very important to have communication, and you really, really something so important that, you know, when the Lord created Adam and Eve, they were naked, meaning nothing was hid. I mean, everything.
That's right.
So in a relationship, you know, we definitely, we can't hide anything from that mate. You have to tell them everything, even the things that you believe are insignificant. A lot of people will take a scripture in the Bible, well, your left hand don't know what your right hand doing, so God says that you don't have to tell your husband everything. No, that don't apply. That's a form of a false prophet right there.
Come on now.
That's how a false prophet want to do, take the word of God and twist it, you know, but Jesus pretty much brought that under subjection in the book of Matthew in chapter 4 when the devil tried to use the same word of God on the devil tried to use God's very own words on him about casting himself down, and the Lord will take charge over you. And then what did the Lord say? For it is written again.
That's
you know,
right.
The devil used the word for it is written. He tried to use biblical stuff. See, but if you are one, you're resting beside your mate, so his hand is your hand. You know, your hand is his hand. So there is no such thing as the left hand don't know what the right hand do. That's your hand. How do you don't know that that's your hand? So, you know, I thank God for the testimony, almost lost it all, falling into the devil's trick.
Amen.
But to God be the glory. To God be the glory. You know, but that's just how easy you can be led away. You know, it's just how easy. I love what Minister Arthur was saying, and I really wanted to amplify that because he touched on so many great points. But that right there is the key. If we can get that you rest in your mate, you become one. Your wife is not, it's not that you're in front of her, behind her, beside her. Y'all are resting in each other. You're just following an order that the Lord meant to be so, because even Jesus thought it not to be robbery, you know, to be equal to God. He know who he is.
That's right.
I'm Jesus, you know, but he says, my Father in heaven says this. He don't come behind and say, my Father in heaven says this, but I'm Jesus and doing this. He don't do that. And so that's what the Lord is saying. You know who you are. You know the power I've given you as a woman, but you rest in your husband. You rest in him, and you tell him everything, and he tells you. So I love that, Minister Arthur. That was a wonderful, wonderful example you gave about Adam and Eve, the way they were created, naked.
Right.
But their sin would uncover their eyes, and they hid themselves, but they meant to be everything, naked. You're naked for your lover.
Amen.
Yeah. As far as in a spiritual sense. So I really love that. If you want to expound more on that, Minister Arthur.
Oh, absolutely.
Lavina, have a phone call. Wait a minute, Minister Arthur. Lavina, is there another caller waiting before we go into
no.
that?
No, we're okay.
Praise God. Well, Minister Arthur, wonderful. Expound on that some more.
Well, yeah, because, again, when you look at what the Bible says, again, I'm talking about a direct correlation between the marriage and what God desires between us. The Bible says that them that worship the Lord must do so in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
In truth. Again, there's no secrets. Besides, you know, anyhow, because, you know, God is omniscient. He knows all things anyhow.
Right.
But he would prefer that we would come to him and confess all our sins and faults, because he says, I'm faithful to forgive you of everything and throw that thing into a sea of forgiveness, and I'll never bring it back up at your face again. Unlike what we do with one another. That's why in our relationships and marriage, come clean with whatever it is that's going on in your past history. Because as Christians, we ought to be able to do what Jesus told his disciples that they had to learn how to do. Forgive.
That's right.
Forgive. Forgive. That's vital to that relationship. There should not be any secrets. There should not be any hidden things about you that you don't want to tell. Why would you not want to share with the one that God has given you in marriage that you're going to live with throughout this life?
Right.
That's another issue there that I'll get to. Throughout this life.
It's right, Minister Arthur. In Ephesians in chapter 4 tells us, Ephesians 4:26, and 27, be you angry and sin not. So you're not saying you're not going to get upset. Some things are going to make us upset, y'all. But sin
right.
not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So Minister Arthur, really, I tell you, he's edifying tonight because, you know, when you keeping those secrets, you're giving a place to the devil.
Absolutely.
You're holding it. And the devil's there, and we know how far that's going to go. When you defile the Lord's temple, he's not going to stay there with you.
Absolutely.
You know, he's not going to rest in you when you allow the devil to open and come freely with a key. It's just not going to happen. So
absolutely.
You can't let the sun go down on that. Just wanted to throw a scripture. Y'all know me. I love the scripture.
Well, that's all right. That's all right since you do that, because I'm just speaking from what God gave me. I'm speaking it to
exactly.
I'm speaking it to you how he gave it to me. And I'm going to jump right on what you just said, because the reason why that you don't want to have anything hidden, and you want to have everything come clean, and because the enemy is going to be coming at you, and that's the reason why God says I'm joining man and woman together so that there can be a help meet, that you help
right.
one another, amen.
Mm-hmm.
So that if something is going on with you, and you're the other party to my relationship, I, as the other party, should be in tune enough and have discernment enough to pick up on some things, and I should be able to come up there to support you. Just in case,
right.
we're not good, because when the enemy comes at us, primarily he would like to isolate us, because then he could deal with us better. But when you're
right.
when there's two or more of you together, he's gonna have a hard time with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's more difficult to come after two people than it is one.
That's right.
And particularly two Christians. Because, again, you said something earlier before about the word and about it is written. I just preached on that. I just preached on something on another call last week. And I used Deuteronomy 8:3, Matthew 4:4, and then I also used, John 14:1, I believe. But Matthew, Deuteronomy 8:3 and John and Matthew 4:4, both of those have this phrase in there. It is written. And I used, because my nephew down in Wichita Falls, Texas, who's also a reverend, he gave me the scripture, he gave me the, for Matthew 4:4, and he gave me the title. It's an acronym, HIS, his, here it says. How we combat the devil and as in a marriage and in our relationships, and particularly when you're talking about a marriage, you can't fight the devil on the terms that we're accustomed to fighting with, because the Bible
right.
says that our warfare is not carnal, it's not physical, it's a spiritual warfare. So how you fight the devil is the same way Jesus fought him. You take the word of God, and here it says,
all right.
"My weapons formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. If God be for me, who can be against me?" That's what you speak back at that devil.
That's right.
And as a husband and wife, both of you need to be able to know the word of God to aid one another. And mm-hmm. and another thing, let's kick it on with that same theme about the naked and out of shame, and you almost touched on it, Minister T. When you go into that next chapter where Adam and Eve kind of like, you know, they slipped, and the sad mm-hmm. thing about it, you know, what happened was the adversary, the serpent, the devil in the form of the serpent, he stepped to Eve, and he starts speaking into her ear about, oh, wait a minute, what did God say about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And then she gave back information. Well, God says that we should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, nor should we touch it, because if we eat of it, we will die. Well, she misquoted something there somewhere, because he didn't say nothing about touching, but he did say not eat of it. And he did say, thou shalt surely die. Then the devil, the deceiver, says, surely thou shalt not die. And then he started telling her about, oh, look at the tree. Look at it. Don't it look good? Look at that fruit. Oh, look how beautiful that looks. Don't you know that God knows that if you day that you start eating of this fruit, that you're going to be like God? You're going to know the difference between good and evil, and you will be like God? He played her, he introduced to her the lust of the eyes, and he also introduced to her dealing with our, you know, our human ego, about us wanting to have certain things and having being possessing of certain things, you know, that something that gratifies us. He introduced that into her spirit. And when he did that, the Bible says she bit of the fruit. Now watch this. She turned and gave it to her husband, and he ate. Holy Ghost told me this. When the serpent was talking to Eve, he was standing right there. Adam was standing right there next to her. This is how easily this can happen to us. That's why your marriage needs to be bounded and founded upon God as the foundation. You need to be watching one another's back.
That's right.
Because the enemy can step one of the two of you just like that.
That's right.
A perfect illustration of that? Job. The devil told God, if you will remove that hedge from around Job, I will have him curse your name. Job went in the first chapter, went through a set of trials, lost everything he owned and had possessed, including his children. He fell down on his knees on the last time someone came, tore his clothes off, or the Bible says, rent his clothes, and he said, naked I came into the world, naked shall I leave. And the Bible says, at the end of that first chapter, and Job did not curse God with his lips. He didn't curse God.
All
second
right.
chapter, the second test came. The devil says, I tell you what, God gave him the same scenario. He said, tell you what, you let me touch his body, and I'll have him curse your name. I'll have him curse. Mm-hmm. I say, okay, don't kill him. Boils all over his body. Job, a mess, sitting down on the ground, scraping himself. His wife, she said, now check this. You still holding on to your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die?
Mm-hmm.
And she said exactly what the devil said that Job would have said. But now watch Job. Job says, are you kidding me? You talk like them foolish women that don't know the Lord. Now, here's the point that I'm making. Why would his wife, his helpmeet, be the one that would, she would think that she would be the last person that would be looking to try to beat Job down while he's down? You would have think that she would have tried to support him. My belief is, unfortunately, this is I'm isolating what I saw in the text. Eisegeting means that I'm interpreting this on my own. You won't find this written in the scriptures. That's what I'm trying to say. What I believe happened is that Job, the Bible clearly says that God says Job was a righteous man. He was righteous in the land. There was nobody like him in the region that he lived in. He had wealth and everything, but he was a godly man. Every day when his kids had grown up and they had went away from home, they would have parties and stuff like that. Job would pray. That they might not, just in case they might have sinned against God, every day. And then the Bible lets us know that because Job had that status, and I'm saying this, Mrs. Job, she was fortunate. If she went down into the village to go to the marketplace, she comes into the marketplace, the merchant saying, oh, Mrs. Job, how you doing, Mrs. Job? Oh, no, your money's no good here, Mrs. Job. No, so they're lavishing all these here things upon her because they want favor with Job. So Mrs. Job enjoyed the benefits of Job's of Job's status. Once she lost all of that, and she no longer had that status, the enemy was able to step to her, because I do believe she looked at what she had lost. She didn't even grieve over her children. She looked at what she had lost, that status, and the enemy was able to creep into her, and that's why she came out with what she said. So that's what I'm saying about Adam and Eve. The devil stepped to her. Adam was standing right there. And then Adam made a conscious choice. Mind you, the Bible tells us when God formed Adam, he put Adam in the center of the garden, started bringing the creatures that he created to him. Adam did not go to pre-K. Adam did not go to K school, grammar, elementary, high school, college, undergrad, postgrad. No other. He had no formal education, but he was extremely intelligent, fully intelligent. That Adam, when he saw what Eve did, he knew what God meant when God said, "The day you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die." The death that God spoke of was the spiritual death. And therefore, he meant that Adam, Eve, whoever ate of that fruit, they had to leave the presence of God from the Garden of Eden. Why? Light and dark has no place together. God cannot abide where sin is.
I mean, that's
had
true.
To go.
Hold that thought real quick. We're going to go to a song and bring on another caller, okay?
Okay.
Hold your thought.
Absolutely.
Show me. Show me.
Okay, that was actually William Hart from the Delphonics. He has a new gospel CD that's going to be coming out, and that was titled Show Me the Love. We had him on Friday's show with host Rich Money, and he introduced his new CD, and that's one of his songs off of it. Did you say O?
Yeah, I know. I know the Delphonics. I'm old.
Amen.
Okay. I know I'm old. I saw them live several times.
Oh, okay. Well, he has a new CD coming out, and that is one of the songs that's on it.
I'll be looking for it.
We're going to go to a caller real quick. Welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please? Hello. Hello, Minister Haley.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? is this Minister T?
Yeah, Minister T, how you doing?
Okay, I just got your message. To call in.
Okay, glad you're on. I was just telling Lavina, you would make a wonderful special guest sometime. Because you're definitely strong in the Lord, too. We spent a long time up just talking, and we just was having church on the phone. I tell you, we spent hours talking, so I just thank God for you and everything you're doing. So lucky, glad for you to call in. What you grateful for tonight? Got some words of encouragement for us?
I'm grateful to, one thing is I'm grateful to be alive to see another day. God put his breath, that God let me breathe. His air. You know what I'm saying? Like I say, I've been telling you a while since I met you that I'm glad that God spared my life through death. And now he brought me back. You know what I'm saying? And I just thank God.
Praise God for that. Did you hear what we were talking about, Minister Arthur, right before we went to the song, was touching on, you know, how Job's wife, we were talking about in general being in covenant with God, but the main point was, and Job's wife was telling him he ought to curse God, and how Job, being strong in the Lord, is saying no, you know, and he didn't break covenant with the Lord. So, and we're talking about just being that help meet, both of you resting in each other, and, you know, not keeping any secrets from each other. And we were just pretty much touching on that. And so what are you, we need some wisdom. We have a lot of callers listening. What is your wisdom? I know you recently gotten married, that you would give to the callers, ones who are maybe single, looking for help meet, ones maybe already in a relationship, you know. What would you give? What's some tips on a healthy marriage?
Okay. First of all, I would just like to say to those who that are searching for a help meet, I just want to let you know, don't search for a helpmate. Let God pick that helpmate for you. Because I'm a living witness to let you know that if you pick the helpmate, it's not going to work. But if God picked that helpmate, it's going to work. He said, the Bible says that a man that findeth a woman findeth a what? A good thing.
A good thing, sir.
You got what I'm saying? So my advice, Will, is just seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. But the thing is, all I can tell you is just ask God to lead the way. Ask God to give you what you want. See, I've been praying for this woman. I flew out of Atlanta to Shreveport, and I was preaching for this pastor here in Shreveport, and I was asked, you know, I said, Lord, when I looked over, I said, Lord, is that going to be my wife right there? You know what I'm saying? And the Lord said, yeah, that's your wife. So I didn't approach her until after 6 months later that she was going. I told her when I met her, I said, you is my wife. And she said, huh? What you mean I'm your wife? I'm going to be your wife. I said, yeah, you're going to be my wife. And we just got married like 3 weeks ago. And she is a Holy Ghost fire woman that is out for God. on hard and stuff like that, and she don't mind by preaching, by speaking the word of God. She, every time you see her, she got a smile on her face. We do things together, not separate. We don't keep secrets away from one another. We let one another know what's going on in our lives and stuff like that. And if you be good, if you sit and talk and ask God, bring God into your relationship, it will work out just as fine. So, you know, that's all I have to say.
So, did she look at you like you were, you know, a little crazy when you said you're going to be my wife?
Not sad.
did she look at you strange, like when you said that? I mean,
no. She right now, she laughed. What you got to say about that, man?
Oh, man, that's all right.
There she goes. Greetings.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. I had, when I was seeking God for my Boaz, I asked God to give me someone after God's own heart. And when Minister Haley came to the church that I was a member of at the time and he preached, you know, I wasn't expecting him to be my husband. I thought he was just a man coming in preaching. But when he got back, you know, and got in communication with one another, he said, when I saw you, I told the Lord right there. He said, that's going to be my wife. I was like, me? You know, you don't know nothing about me, but you want me to be your wife, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, God said you was going to be my wife. I was like, well, God ain't told me nothing, you know?
Oh, my Lord.
And, you know, I was kind of... You know, I was kind of weary, still in my flesh, you know, trying to fight it off. But one thing about it, when something is ordained and it's set up by God, no matter how you try to fight that thing, God will make a way for that thing to come right back around and slap you in your face every time.
Ooh.
And I was like, Lord, well, Lord, if you say, I'll surrender. And it's, you know, and to have a man to step in and to want to guide and help, and especially if you're a single woman and you already have kids. A lot of men don't want to get involved with women who have children. You know,
right.
they don't want to get involved, and he stepped in and helped with my children and stuff, and even how much he even stuff, I still tried to fight against it. And the Lord said, well, this is what you prayed and asked for. So when you pray and you ask God for something, you got to be careful for what you pray and ask God for, because God will give you exactly what you pray and ask him for. If you mean it and you're sincere about it in your heart, God will give it to you. And then when it comes to you and it's not what you expect, you're like, well, Lord, but God be like, that's what you prayed for. That's what you asked for.
That's right.
So be careful of what you pray for. And if you mean it with sincerity, God will gonna grant your wish. And don't go looking for a man because he has a title or because he drives a nice car or because he may have money. It ain't about that. It's about if his heart and his mind and his spirit is lined up with the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lined up with the will of God and the man you seeking is not lined up with the will of God, it's not going to work out, because the word says, be ye not unequally yoked. I can't be with somebody and I'm living for God and they going to the club every week.
That's right.
It won't work like that. And
mm-hmm.
that's how women, we settle for the first thing that comes our way, you know, because he treats us like, and because we get caught up in the words that he say and how he winds and dines us. No. But you really got to, sometimes you got to fast, and you really got to seek the face of God and be like, God, is this for me? And I was in this place last year. I was a single woman this time last year, praying and asking God, God, when is it gonna be my turn? When is it gonna be for me? Not knowing that my turn was coming,
but
I patiently waited. I waited on God. I seek the face of God. I did the things of God. And when you get caught up in the things of God, God was seeing your boy just like Ruth and Naomi. Well, she was doing what God, she was out there in the field working. She wasn't looking for no man.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to put your hands to work. And while you out there doing your work, he's going to come. God is going to send him. But if you too busy looking for yourself and looking for yourself. God goes, okay, you this is what you want. Okay, I'm gonna give you what you want.
That's right.
And when you what you want, God gonna give you what you want. It's gonna be messed up. It's gonna be tore up from the floor because that's what you want.
That's right.
It wasn't what God wanted for you, but it's what you wanted.
Mm-hmm. That's what you asked for.
And you got caught up in all this and this, and for me, you know. And I appreciate my husband because we have our ups and downs, but through it all, we know how to sit and we know how to talk. A relationship is not a relationship if you feel like you can't open up yourself to your soulmate or the person. If you can't open up and you can't talk to that person, then what's the use of having them? What's the use of them being your husband or your wife if you can't? If you can't talk to nobody else besides God, then that ought to be the person that you ought to be able to talk to. That you ought to be able to cry on their shoulders in the midnight hour when you don't know nowhere else to turn. That person ought to be right there. But if you can't go to that person and talk to them and they meet you and they come to you like, well, baby, it's going to be okay. Let's open up the word and let's see what the word says about this situation. And that's one thing I can say. We come with the word.
That's right.
And you just got to see that. Amen, amen. Let me interrupt you enough time to go to a song, and I want to touch on something you said with the scripture. But is it time for a song, Sister Lavina, before we go into that?
Yes, I actually want to go to a song, and then we're going to bring on another caller as well.
Okay, okay.
So we'll go to the song first, okay?
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised?
Be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over.
You look so much better when you're
I say,
you look so much better.
praying. Look in the mirror. Always remember.
That was Kirk Franklin, I Smile. Minister Sanders wanted to give a scripture.
Yes, I'm going to touch on something real quick. I tell you, y'all, first of all, I want to say that I love the way the flow is going. And for the callers that are listening, this is so important. Y'all know how we got around to relationships. I tell you, God wants this message to go forth on tonight. But this, get this in your spirit. I'm talking to women right now. Women right now. 1 Peter in chapter 3, listen to this very carefully. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. A pause right there for a minute, and then to the men. Us women, we talk too much. We talk too much. And the Lord is even letting these men know in this verse, oh, that woman, she's going to come at you like a roaring lion. She's going to hit you with both barrels of the gun. But the only way you're going to be able to bring her under subjection is through my word.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want you to be attracted to her because of how she looks, the hairdo, the jewelry she got on, the apparel, the body, all these outwardly things. The verse 4 says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible. And this is, and the Lord says, a meek and quiet spirit is a great price to him. Now, listen again. Man, I hope you grab that too. Verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Listen to them. I'll tell you something powerful. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham. Women obey. You know, we don't really care for that word. We got to tell the truth. Obey, calling him Lord, whose daughters we are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, you husbands, dwell them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers not be hindered. So the Lord is saying for you to be blessed in your marriage, you got to understand that your husband is your Lord. Now, people come, let me tell you how false prophets are coming to try to kill this. Well, ain't no one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus. So how can I call my husband my Lord? First of all, it is God's decree that the man is the head and the woman is the weaker vessel. because of what happened at the beginning of time. We are emotional creatures, ladies. We are emotional.
Yes.
It don't take much to crank our bike up. Because when it's crunk, there ain't nothing slowing us down but the power of God. Where a man, he's more, he can handle a little more, you know? He can handle a little more. A man is, that's why you see in a home with a good father figure and a good mother figure, the man, he come in there, he just got to say it one time, and the kids got it. Where a woman, we're going to, you better do this now, you better this, because they know we're the kids, even though we're the weaker vessel. You can get over on that. But the Lord is telling us that your husband is your Lord. Your husband is your Lord. So when you obey him and rest in him, you are obeying God. You're not putting him before God. He is your Lord as long as he's listening to his Father God. And your prayers would not be hindered. That's why when Job's wife, I love Minister Arthur for the illustration he gave, when Job's wife told him to curse God, the weaker vessel told him to curse God, what did he say? Oh, no, no. He knew better. And look at what God did for Job, because he remained faithful, because he didn't break covenant with God, even though his wife, being the weaker vessel, did. Look at what happened. There's so many testimonies within that book, but this is so important to us as women. We really can talk our way out of a blessing. We can talk our way out of anything. We have to be able to submit and be in submission to our husbands. A lot of times when men say this, we will always, you know, they think that's that spirit of a proud spirit. This man don't want me to do this. He, you know, we get with this women's liberation stuff, and we get into all kind of stuff, but that's not the word of God. God is not saying we're not powerful because he gave us acknowledgement in the very first book. He says in order for you to win a conversation with your wife, you have to bring her under my subjection, which is God. He's saying that you, us women, we are so powerful that we can make a man fear us that don't have God, a grown man. So he's not saying that we're weak. He's saying
Minister Sanders, hold that thought real quick. Let us just bring on another caller.
Praise God, praise God.
Welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Is that me that's on right now?
Yes, that's you.
Well, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm sitting there listening to Minister Sanders go off the deep end. She's trying to get kicked out of church, ain't she? She's trying to get kicked out of church, ain't she?
I know, right? Trying to get kicked out.
This is Elder Rich. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Just sitting back, listening, and just enjoying what I've been able to hear. And I do want to let you ladies know that there is a dual session going on right now, even as we speak. Just as you're on Blog Talk Radio right now, you are also on the airwaves of the New Gospel Stage here at WNEQ. And we
welcome
you. Wow. Wow. Last week, but I wasn't able to get it done. Today I made it my business to the station, so that we can go off the deep end. Now, in listening to what Minister Sanders was saying right then and there, and I agree with her to a certain degree, and I pray God with everything within me that she understands where I'm going. I've always believed, and this is earnest one and one, doesn't mean that salvation has anything to do with it. I've always believed that God originally intended a co-reigning between husband and wife.
No, it's not. Come on, man. Put me just yes, I can. Put me some food, Jay.
Oh, hold on a second. Just a minute, sir. Someone, please place your phone on mute, please. Will you please place your phone on mute? We have to mute your call. Sorry about
anyway,
that, man of God.
That's quite all right. I mean, you know, we're on a phone call, and you know, life still goes on. Stuff like we know. Anyway, the bottom line is, I believe that God originally ordained a co-reigning, and actually did not remove the co-reigning except in the area where decision making and things of that nature had to be. If there had to be a final line of authority, because the part that he took out of man when he made woman, remember this. I said this last week, I believe, or last time I spoke to you, that when God made man, he made the original, the first edition. But how many of you know that the second edition is somewhat better than the first? And
all right,
God made you. Quite all right. Don't worry, Sister Three. Jason, I'm going to get you back in church. We're going to get you in somebody's church.
Come on, sir.
The bottom line is this, basically, we need to learn how to reign together, because when it says over there in Ephesians, submit yourselves one to another, the bottom line was this, that man has to be submissive to Almighty God first and foremost before he can take his rightful role as prophet, king, and priest of that household. To just walk in and say, I'm the man of this house, I'm the king of this house. Yeah, you might be the king because God said so, but you also might be, you know, killing your own community at the same time, because if you're not going anywhere, you know, the Bible's clear when it says without a vision, people perish. And a lot of times you see divorces taking place is because there was, first and foremost, no vision, and there may have been a vision for a hot minute, and then suddenly, just that quick, the vision disappeared because somebody gets a little power hungry. So I'm saying to the brothers, just because you've been placed as the head of the house, that does not give you the right or the privilege to boss anybody around. You got to remember, Jesus put the key to this whole thing when he says, he that will be great among you must first become servant of all. And that says to you, Mr. Man of the House, if you want to be great in your house, forget about the church, forget about the community, forget about the world, and forget about President Obama's position. If you want to be great, start in your own house first and foremost. You become great by becoming servant to those who are within your house. And I don't mean becoming their slave. I mean, be helpful to them. Be there. Be a benefit to them. Cause them to realize that there is some importance to them. Let them know that they mean something to you, that they're the apple of your eye, and you would literally lay down your life to a certain extent for their cause, whatever that might be. And if you have children there that are doing things, support them in whatever it is they're doing. Down the road, when Father's Day, you ain't got to worry about getting that little ugly-looking tie that you've been getting for the last 6 years. Maybe you might just get an iPod if you just do a little bit of work. Hello, somebody.
All right, sir.
Right there. That's all I had to say on that.
Amen. Praise God. I praise God. I'm up for clarity. And just to piggyback on what he just said, is that the thing is, the man definitely is the head, and he's the savior of that woman's body. And as the woman is resting inside of her husband, they're resting inside of each other. What's going on down in there, what the Lord is just saying, I mean, you don't want your prayers hindered. The Lord is saying, even though the woman is the weaker vessel, that man is still supposed to dwell together with her accordingly and give her honor. So I love what the man of God said, but make no mistake about it. Yeah, he is the ruler of his house, you know, but he's not supposed to, it's a way to do it, like the man of God just said. He's not supposed to go in there bossing anyone around or everything. He's supposed to acknowledge her. He's supposed to see how she feels, but the final decision is on his head, and she's supposed to respect that. And that's just what the Word of God says. If he says no, there's no argument or debating about it. She's supposed to be in all subjection to her husband as he is to God. And, you know, a lot of us women, you know, we really have a problem with the whole obey thing. We stop right there.
Minister Sanders, I hear you when it comes with the obey.
Yes.
Minister Sanders.
Can I say something about that?
Go ahead.
All right. We'll go ahead, and then we're going to bring on two more callers, because I'm sure it's going to go. All right. So go ahead.
Yeah, this is what I want to say about that, because I've heard that, and I'm telling you, I'll tell you what I'm going to say. We're presuming spiritually that woman is the weaker vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
not
necessarily so.
He's
right.
So what?
Say it again.
And I agree with my brother minister, because again, the Bible says when he joined man and woman together, they became as one.
That's
and
right.
So therefore, there's an equality there. There's not a rulership. There's not a headship. As one
Perfect
means
stated.
That there's a unit, and that's you're supposed to function as a unit.
Right.
That's why the communication should be vital. That's why the commitment should be vital.
Amen.
That's why the honesty should be vital. That's why the integrity should be vital for both parties.
Amen.
Because you're there as a unit to accomplish a singular thing. You're there to accomplish a relationship together as man and woman that is pleasing to God, because it should represent the relationship that you have with God.
Amen.
That's the important. That's why marriage was instituted for us as human beings, so we would understand what God wants in the relationship with us.
Amen.
That's the sole purpose of that relationship.
Amen.
Sole purpose, biblically. That's it. That was the first idea that God established between him and mankind, to introduce him to mankind.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's biblical. Just look at the scriptures. Like Jesus said, they all point to it.
Look at on that note, we're going to bring on another caller real fast. Okay, we have two more callers to bring on.
No
problem. Welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please? Bishop?
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Praise the Lord.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great.
Good. Would you like to tell everyone what you're thankful for this evening?
Yes, I just was calling in. First, I want to thank God for Life Test and Strength. We bring you greetings from the House of Prayer. We thank God for Milam, the author. We thank God for the lady, Teresa T. Minister T, thank God for inviting us out for the conference and others. I just want to touch bases on what the, I believe it was the woman God was talking about, unequally yoked. That when man findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing. And I heard them say tonight that God don't want to unequally yoke with unbelievers, but we can also be married to a believer and still be unequally yoked. That can go a lot of different ways there, and we need to understand that if we marry a believer, that we believe in the same thing. And we stand for the same thing, you know?
Right.
That's why when we say that we're going to marry a believer, we need to check them out as well as we check out an unbeliever to make sure that we're standing and we're speaking on the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can I write on the back of that, Bishop, if you don't mind? I appreciate you. This is Elder Ernest Richard. How are you, sir? I just want to just simply say he's right. You can be married to a believer and still be unequally yoked because, I mean, in this day and age, we deal with better than 350-plus denominations. And I'm just going to grab two, not that I'm picking on these two denominations. So I'll tell you what, I'll make up two denominations. We could be dealing with the denomination of First Church of the Refrigerator, and then we could be dealing with the denomination of First Church of the Deep Freeze. In First Church of the Refrigerator, you believe that women should be barefoot and pregnant, but in First Church of the Deep Freeze, you believe that women should be liberal and treated as equals. Now, when you got two people with that battleground to work with, and they decide they're going to get married regardless of their denomination, and I'm just using that as an analytical point. Now you've got a battle within that home before you even created a home, before you've even gotten that union together. And you will find yourself fighting and scratching and clawing all the way through that relationship until one of you just decides, I have had enough. You have got to go. And so then we go run into the court and we file for divorce and we put down on that paper irreconcilable differences. Read that in Scripture. There are only two reasons why you can get a divorce. According to Scripture, and Jesus said the reason why he allowed Moses to give that was of the hardness of your heart, unwillingness to forgive, and that's why you can get it. We're not going to get into the two reasons because some of you out there listening might be trying to fish for a reason to dump that load anyway. Help you out on this one. So you go look it up for yourself. It is in the gospel.
Amen.
That's all I'm going to tell you on that.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God.
Right.
Let me say this before you go to the next point. Because I don't want to get the point to get lost here. When I was gay and weaker, that's where we have stopped. But the point is this right here. It's not so much if weaker or stronger. That woman is strong in her own right. The Lord gives a woman a certain amount of strength. He gives a man a certain amount of strength. But it's not about being stronger or weaker. The order of God is that man is the head of his household.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? And at no point he's supposed to be taking orders. But excuse me, let me say it right so the unbelievers can hear me. He's supposed to acknowledge that wife in everything. Keep no secrets. Be naked, spiritually naked for that wife. And that husband the same way. But it's said and done. The final decision rests on that man's head. This is the word of God. Not because she's weaker, not because she can't make the decision, because women have been doing it a long time. The Lord has dealt them that measure of faith when they have to press on by themselves. Or like me, who have been single for 5 years, and the Lord dealt me that measure of faith, so he had me strong. So it's not so much that she can't do it, but the Lord is saying, just like Jesus didn't think it was robbery to be equal. He knew his name. He didn't have to be puffed up. The book of Philippians says, God called it not robbery to be equal to God. He didn't every time he come and say, well, my Father in heaven said this, but I'm Jesus saying this. He just said, my Father in heaven, and he kept it moving. But he knew what authority he walked in, and that's what that woman needs to do as a wife, and that's what I'm saying. So we don't get lost on all the, well, she not weaker, or she this, or that. We don't want the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. The point is, even you can be as strong as you want to be, but God is saying, your husband, be careful who you marry, because your husband, as long as he's listening to reverence and me, he is your Lord.
And
these women, the Bible refers to, is saying the women of old. The Bible don't really exist anymore. Because we don't really want to do that. The women of old, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham.
But listen, nobody is disagreeing with what you're saying.
Amen, that's true.
We are actually agreeing with you, but
yes,
at the same time pointing out the very fact that even though that man is the head of the house, there are a lot of occasions, and let's talk about today's time. I understand we can go into the scriptures and say what the scriptures say, and we'll be absolutely right in what we're saying. But in today's problems, and it's sad that the divorce rate is higher among Christians than it is among any type of people in this entire universe. And the reason being is because you have this struggle, this inner struggle, because they're not aware of the fact that of the cunning craftiness of the enemy,
how
he tends to take the truth and twist it up and make it seem to be. You're 100% right that the man should be the head of the house. But if that man doesn't understand what it means to be a head, you've got a problem already. That woman may understand and perceive from God, because you women have something that we men don't have. We men are headliners, okay? We see a situation, we see a problem, we going to solve the problem. You women are detail people. You not only see the problem, you want to find every little integral part of that problem that's going to benefit everybody that's involved. The man ain't thinking about involvement. The man just wants to get this problem solved, okay? It's raining outside. I need a raincoat. Go get a raincoat. That's
Amen.
It. You're sitting there saying, well, it's raining outside. Johnny's got to have on warm socks, and he's got to have on some warm undergarments, and we got to make sure he has on a rain hat, and, you know, at least have his galoshes on and his raincoat and have an umbrella and an extra shirt just in case his shirt gets wet, because we don't want Johnny catching a cold. Oh, by the way, let's pack a few cold pills in case he's pissing when he gets to school. That's the detail of you. Well, I mean, it sounds weird, but that's what it is.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
You are detailed people.
Amen.
You know, and if we men had the details or had the ability to be as detailed as you women are, then, you know, there would really be no need for women, because we'd be complete within ourselves. But
come
God
on,
knew what he was doing.
Amen.
When God took that part
Amen.
Of us out and placed it in you, he made it. Why do you think Adam, when he woke up and saw her, said, whoa, man? He wasn't just saying it just to be saying it. He looked at her and said, not only is that good looking, but she got some stuff that I need. And we won't talk about the other stuff, because we're going to keep this clean. Go ahead. Somebody else talk.
That's
great. Praise God.
Amen.
Let me get my speak tongue, my fake tongue here. Seek a Messiah. He shall come on a hind.
Yes. I love the man of God is saying, but it's a big time. But I want to get caught up in and call us, please, hear what we're saying on this. Now, the only thing I want to just clarify is marriages that are breaking up, because to be Christian is to be like Christ. It's though when we break covenant with God, because we got to remember that Satan was once saved. See what I'm saying? But when you break covenant with God and fall away, you know, and that's what's happening, and that's when we go into having divorces. But if we follow the order God has for us to be and not break covenant with him, we won't be getting a divorce. But it's so many of us who claim, you know, to claim that God told you my wife. I've had so many invites me, God told me you my wife.
Oh,
you know what? Minister
Sanders.
Look, on that note, guys, Minister Sanders, we're going to go to a song real fast.
Oh,
okay?
Lord. She going
to
start
some
stuff.
Yes, she
is. She's starting. We're going to go to a song.
Yes, she did.
All right.
That was Jennifer Hudson, A Wonderful Change. We have Prophet Stevens on the line. We have Minister Arthur, Minister Sanders, Minister Haley, Elder Richards, Bishop Murray, and we're also going to bring on a couple more callers. Is everyone there?
Amen.
All right, so we're going to bring on some more callers. Welcome to Jesus Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Olivia Davis, Pastor.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Olivia.
Hi there.
Oh, my family's online. Oh, my God, I love you.
Oh, not as much as I love you. I've been listening to the conversation. But first, we want to give honor to God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I love the conversation on the husband and the wife. And every time we get into that conversation, I have to go back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Where God made us in Genesis 1:27, he made us in his, when he says, and God created man in his image and in his likeness. He created them males and females. So in order for, and I know we were talking about that week thing. I didn't get the whole thing, but I caught part of it. So if we were to get into a weak part of it, and then we talked about the position of the husband, the position of the husband is to love his wife as Christ has loved the church. And if he's not willing to give himself as a sacrifice as his wife, see, those are the things that we have to get into that have been taken totally out of context from century to century. But when we go back to the Word of God, we will find that he created us equally in him. Now,
right.
I can't lift as much as my husband can lift, and he can't lift. He can lift more than I can lift. So if I need him to carry me at some point in time, he will be able to carry me and to provide for me. But
right.
as long as we are walking with Christ together, I am obligated by the Word of God to heed to the thing that God has given him to do.
Amen.
Because when we are in him, we are one. So therefore, everything that God tells him should already be placed in my
Come on.
Spirit.
Amen.
Everything that he tells me is already placed in his spirit. And when we can get husband and wives to walk together in the oneness of
that's
Christ,
right.
because
that
except
Yes.
except we can agree, then
Amen.
We cannot walk together.
Come on.
Here you
and
go.
That is what's
Amen.
Going on in the body of Christ. There is not enough agreement.
Yes.
It's not
it
about
is.
Position. It's about, am I doing what Christ done told me to do? Because he said, I and my Father is one.
That's
so
right.
if I am in the Father and the Father is in me, so therefore we are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And you know what, Pastor? I was
coming
to that.
Give me 30 more seconds.
Give me 30 more seconds.
Because when God laid that man down and took that woman out of her, that left a space in him that was not filled. So therefore, he had to be there in order to get done everything that God
Thank
has
you,
planned
Jesus.
Before
Amen.
The foundation of the world. Because
Hallelujah.
If she's not in her position and he's not in his position, neither one I'm going to develop and do the things
Thank
that Christ
you,
has called them to do before the foundation Amen. Of the world.
Hallelujah.
Right.
And I,
Thank
you know, and I'm in
Jesus.
Total agreement with you. This is Elder Richard,
That's
Pastor. By the way, God bless you for that, because basically you've said what's been said twice already, and you've only established what it is. The word clearly says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You being the
Amen.
Third witness have established what's already
Amen.
Been said. And the key word that you used was in Christ and together. I was
yes.
about to say earlier about how can two walk together except they be agreed. And
yes.
if you're not walking in agreement and you're walking in disagreement, you open the door for confusion and for chaos. And
yes.
in the process of confusion and chaos, you'll lose focus on what it is you're supposed to be doing. When your bills and your money become more important to you, there are three areas of life that every man, every married couple has to face. They have to deal with sex, communication, and money. And those are the three areas you're going to have to deal with from the day you get married until the day you either divorce or die, whichever you decide, whatever, whichever one happens to you first. And I don't care where you go and who it is you're married to, equally yoked or unequally yoked. If you don't handle those three areas, you're going to have some kind of issue. Because if you don't handle the communications part, you're going to separate and go your separate ways. And the next thing you know, there's this. Instead of communicating on a loving basis, you're communicating in a negative basis, and then you turn it into an argument, which leads to a fight, which possibly could lead to abuse in some cases.
Amen.
If you're not communicating in the area of sex, which is the highest form of emotional expression between a man and a woman, you've not completed one another because you're not consummating one another. You consummate the marriage not at the ceremony or not at the altar, but you consummate the marriage when you get to that secret place or that bedchamber. And the last area that I mentioned was money. Did I say money? Let me say it one more time. Money, money. It's not me, mine, and then yours. It's ours. I don't care which way it goes because you're a team. And as a team, you have to manage. What manager of what store have you ever seen turn around and just tell his assistant managers, I don't need y'all. I can do this by myself. When you start making those bad mistakes, now you're starting to create and cost your own self. And you cost yourself in so many areas, but you are absolutely right in what you're saying, Pastor. 100%. And if you don't get no other man to agree with you, Elder Richard agrees with you. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Can I say something, too? Minister Arthur Weathersley again, and I totally agree with what she just said because clearly that's the premise of the marriage, to be joined as one. As Jesus said, he and his Father was one, and so are we at one with him through the relationship and adoption that Christ did for us at Golgotha Hill on the cross. Now, again, the reason why we have these divorces is because, obviously, the married folk are not as one. Amen. They're not communicating as Christians, as those that are in Christ, because there should not be this divorce should not ever occur in a Christian marriage. Amen. It should not.
Amen.
Not according to the Word of God. It should not.
That's right.
Because what we have to look at, this is what the relationship is. The relationship is such that there are going to be things that are going to come up in it, just like in our relationship with our walk with God. There's going to be trials, tribulations. All these things are going to come up. But when you are in Christ and there's two of you there, the both of you should be able to come together and work your way through these things.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Because, again, that's what happens in our relationship with Christ. We should be able to work through these things and then be reunited together again, because those trials and tests that come forth are designed to make that relationship stronger.
Amen.
Make that love stronger.
That's right.
Amen. That's the purpose of it, I'm telling you. Again, there's too much of worldliness within our Christian marriages.
Oh,
I'm sorry,
yeah.
I got a problem. I do not understand this concept of prenuptial agreement. And if it's in a Christian relationship, I'm saying, know what? Something is wrong.
Something is
wrong.
Prenuptial agreement is saying right off the bat, this relationship will not last. Therefore, what I brought in, I want to take it out. You don't have no claim to it.
That's
Amen.
Right.
So as a man thinketh, so it is. So as a man thinketh, so it is.
Yes, let me say this right quick, Minister Arthur. What I touched on right before we went through the song. The thing is, too many people who are portraying, because, see, to be a Christian, we have Christ's mind, and he's right, the marriage is forever. You're not planning to depart, so there is no such thing as no prenuptial agreement. I agree with that. But the thing is, you got so many people saying, well, God gave me a word. He said, you're my wife. Well, God said, you're my husband. Well, you know, nobody reveals God but God. You think if he told it to you, you would think my God would tell it to me before we walk down the aisle. And so it's the Christian that's going into the, it's these false prophets. These false people are going to get in the heart. Because God didn't bring you together, because when God brings, no land, nothing ever goes and tear it apart. So that's the thing. It's not the Christians. I want to correct that. The Christians are not divorced, and they're not the Christians. Because to be Christ-like is to have his mind. Christ ain't going to break up. He's the same yesterday, forevermore.
I'm just saying.
You know what, Sister Teresa, and again, we can agree with you, but we can also disagree, because remember, there are a lot of Christians that start out walking right.
Yes.
And somewhere down the line, get detoured. So, yes. You know, you're all right. It is. I'm only saying when I say, well, we could say church folk, but now we're getting a little crazy with it because church folk becomes much too broad. So there's a lot of people you can classify as church folk.
Yes.
Those are the same people who take the sword of the spirit and try to stab you with it. You know how that works. I'm sure you've seen some of them, but I'm sitting there listening. I'm thinking we should take up the collection and dismiss the church. That's the reason I went off the deep end about five times.
Amen.
Right, though.
Amen.
I mean, you know, I mean, you got to please forgive me for making, I'm not making light of this situation. It's a very serious subject, but at the same time, it is a subject that seems to go hidden. I mean, unless you're in the local church and your pastor's preaching and teaching on it, it's a total different story. But there are a lot of people that may not be affiliated with churches that may even be listening to this broadcast right now. They're trying to find answers. They're on the verge of divorce. They've unsigned separation papers, and one's staying in Motel 6, the other is in Motel 8, and on another occasion, one is trying to get hooked up with Deacon J, and the
come
other side is getting hooked up with Missionary S, and you know, all kinds of crazy things. You see, the only thing is, you got to remember, the battleground is the mind. The mind is the battleground, and when the enemy can get you twisted in your thinking in an area like this, he can get you moving in directions you have no business moving in, and you're
trying
to figure out, how did I get here? Well, let me help you out with that. Because you failed to gird up the loins of your mind, you are now in a situation where if the Holy Ghost don't come and help you, you're going to be doing some stuff you wasn't looking forward to doing, and you
That's
run
right.
the risk of finding yourself on death row, and I don't mean the prison system where they put you in an electric chair and electrocute you. A is death row, okay? Let's just put it out like that. You play a dangerous game when you start stepping outside your spouse. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to do a reality check here. Because, I mean, too many people are out there playing too many games, too many Pentecostal pimps out there trying to put their play on some sister that just came to church. She all brokenhearted and contrite and trying to find Jesus. And you're trying to show them another missionary they ain't even interested in. Well, at least not that time anyway. I'm being nice about it, sister. So y'all just be between the lines on that, okay? So let's move on. The point I'm trying to make is she's right in what she's saying, but at the same time, when you talk about Christians, you are talking about people that at one point in time knew Christ and walked with Christ, just decided to walk away. Because when it talks about the apostasy in the book of Hebrews, it talks about that falling away. Don't think for one hot second that in the area of marriage there isn't a great falling away.
There is
a great falling away because people have lost their way.
That's right.
Well, see, and that's
we're going to Minister Sanders, we're going to bring on two more callers real quick.
Oh, wow.
Time is of the essence here.
Yes.
Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please? T, you there?
Yes. Hey. Hello,
hey,
everyone.
T, how are you?
I'm blessed. How's everyone?
Hello.
Good. Good.
I just want to call and let everybody know, you know, hey, I'm blessed, too blessed to be stressed.
Amen.
And, you know, hey, I love you all. And this topic is very, very touching and is deep.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yes. And everybody stay blessed.
Amen.
Have a great holiday.
Thank you. You all as well.
All right, Minister Arthur, I'll be clearing your throat.
Hello?
You know I'm
ready. All right. Rachel, you there?
Yes, yes, I am. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. I just want to say, to looking at Minister Sanders, what a wonderful show. And to all the ministers and prophets and elders and bishops on the line, God bless you all. I honor you all. I want to give honor to God first and foremost for waking me up and starting me on my day and continuing to bless me and keeping his hand just in my hand, because Lord knows I need him. And I got so much out of the show tonight, and I always do.
Amen.
And I thank God for you all, and I ask that y'all pray for me as I pray for you all.
Yes, we will. Thank you, Rachel. Would anyone like to give any words of encouragement?
Oh, absolutely.
I'd like to say something. This is Minister Haley's wife, and speaking from a minister's wife point of view, and part of being equally yoked, you know, being yoked up with your wife soulmate, my anointing is not my husband's anointing. Well, my husband's anointing, Lex said, ought to be able to pick up on that as his wife. If someone comes in and as a minister's wife, you know, a lot of ministers want their wives to sit down and be still and be quiet and not say something. But if someone comes in the church, comes in and they're hurting, and you as man of God, you can't lay hands on certain areas on the woman. That's when your wife comes in to be your helpmate on that part.
Amen.
You know, and the woman is there to undergird. You know, it's not that the woman is trying to take over or do whatever, but she's there to undergird. So where my husband can't minister to this hurting woman, me as being his wife can minister to her.
Amen.
Where she's hurting. Because I may have hurt it in the same area where she's hurt it. And a lot of men push women to the back burner in ministries because they feel like women are trying to take over or different things like that. But if God has yoked you up, if God has taken me from your rib, then I'm a part of you.
Amen.
So where you can't fill in, then I'm going to fill in for you.
Amen.
And where you can't reach, I'm going to reach for you. And we have to realize, as people of God, we have to realize that the devil is attacking marriages.
Yes.
Stand up, and we have to stand flat-footed. And you have to plead the blood of Jesus over your own relationship, over your own marriage, or the devil will attack. And my husband have only been married for 3 weeks, but the devil has been attacking. And me, as the woman of God, I have to stand foot and say, okay, devil, enough is enough. You will not take my marriage. And we as women, we have to stand up and we have to stand up and grab hold of it. But sometimes the men will be like, okay, well, I'm done. But what are you going to do as a woman? You just going to let them walk out? No, you got to stand flat foot and you got to let them know, hey, devil, no, this enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
have to let them know enough is enough. And women, don't get to the point where you're like, okay, well, it is what it is. And once the devil feel like you selling, then the devil feel like he's won. He's won.
Amen.
In your marriage. But this time I won't be defeated in my relationship. I won't be defeated in my marriage. And like the man of God said, there has to be a line of communication. Every time there's a disagreement in your relationship or whatever, you want to go shut up in a room and your husband or your boyfriend, whatever, want to go shut up in another room. Your relationship ain't going to never work if there's no line of communication.
Exactly.
If there's no line of communication. You can't go to bed mad at each other, then wake up and then expect your family to work out right, expect everything to go out right. No, because God said he's not the author of confusion.
He is not.
Right, that's right.
Thank God on that. I don't want you to leave off this. I didn't mean to interrupt you, sister. We're almost done. But I really need to say something before we leave off this call. This is very important. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, I want you to all get this in your spirit, that none of us belong to ourselves. We belong
to
God. I heard this was a sister let out. She said, my anointing is not your anointing. I want y'all to understand something very seriously, and no time is of the essence. The anointing, the faith, the grace, the mercy, if that belongs, it's not yours, mine, it's none of us. All of this, anything supernatural belongs to God. The anointing is the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit that we are delegated to function in the assignment or the appointment the Lord has us on, whether it's a marriage, a ministry, or anything. We get access to the faith, everything in the supernatural realm through our belief in God. That faith that comes by hearing the word of God, like what we're doing on this line tonight, is how our righteousness is revealed. So the husband is not going to have more anointing than you. You're not going to have more anointing than him. It belongs to God. He's going to deal that measure rule to him the same way he did with the faith. God the Father is the anointed. Jesus the Son is the anointer, and he is the one who delegates the anointing. The Holy Spirit which comes upon you all, that's what it is, the anointing. So it's no such thing as my faith stronger than your faith, my anointing. It don't belong to me. We don't even belong to us. We were bought with a price. We belong to God.
Amen.
Before you guys go real quick.
I think she was saying that her anointing is different than her husband's anointing.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's what I'm saying.
I know it's not my anointing because gifts and callings come without repentance.
That's right.
There's an area in ministry where if my husband is not able to go, me being his wife ought to be able to go to that place in ministry because I know this anointing is not mine. God has given it all to me. But there's some areas where my husband may not be able to reach you, but me as being his wife, me as being his rib, ought to be able to reach you in those areas. That's why. That's
what areas. Can I interject? Can I interject just for a hot minute, please?
Hold on a second. Hold on one second, guys. Minister Sanders, hold on one second. Elder Richards.
Yes.
He's trying to interject.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to interject. She, the minister's wife, I forgot her name, and please forgive me. She's right, because there are different callings we talked about. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the different gifts. You're not going to operate in the same gift. Even in the fivefold ministry, there are five different manifested preaching gifts that are manifested within the body of Christ. And then over in, like I said, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 lists a boatload of other gifts that are in manifestation. The pastor of that church may operate in, a word of wisdom and prophecy and things of that nature, but his wife may have to operate in the gifts of healing. And so knowing that she has this gift and them two working together, these gifts all work together because the Trinity work together, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and there's no difference in the workings of the gifts. There is no gift that's going to outshine. Paul had this discussion with the Corinthians when they were all trying to showboat the gifts that God had given, and he got on everybody. It goes down to this, and this is the bottom line.
Right.
One plants, another waters, but it's God who is going to give the increase.
Yeah,
so whether your gift is manifested during the course of that service or all three, 10 gifts can be manifested in the same service, but God will get the glory out of each and every one of them because it's done decently and in order. That's the only thing. I agree with what she's saying. That's all I wanted to say.
And I just have one thing to say. Is it okay? It's going to be real quick, fast, and in a hurry. I just want anybody that's listening to this call to not get the wrong impression. This is not a doom and gloom about marriage and relationships. As a matter of fact, this was ordained by God for this to happen. There is hope. And the hope is that you got to have your relationship solidly built on the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you want to last, if you want a marriage to last, it has to be there. And if you're a Christian, then you need to get your game together. Get the game together. That's all that this is about. This is to encourage folks that there's the better way. There's the right way. There's the only way.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
The only way.
And, yeah, all of us flow very wonderful tonight. I enjoyed everyone. But, yeah, we have to make sure these things are known because us as saints, you know, we know these things, but there are a lot of babes in Christ and people that come in, you know, and don't know the word. And so we got to be very careful, you know, in the things we say and make sure they get it. Too. So, you know, and that's a wonderful thing. I enjoyed everyone tonight.
Amen.
I do want to thank everyone for calling in, all the callers, the listeners, of course. We did not have a special guest this evening, but all of you are GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday special guests.
Yes.
We had a wonderful show this
guest.
Evening. Yes. Well, yes, you are absolutely right.
Amen.
Absolutely right. It was
Amen.
A wonderful show. Elder Richards, if you want to give your information, if anyone wants to contact you, I believe Pastor Olivia is still on the line as well. And then Minister Sanders, if you can give yours. Time is of the essence, so if we can all just talk quickly.
I'll try to do this in 30 seconds. I'm Elder Ernest E. Richard Jr., a.k.a. Preacher 719. You can find me on Facebook in two pages, Elder Ernest Richard and then Elder E. Richard Jr., page 2. You can also find me on Twitter at Preacher 719. You can inbox me at any given point in time, or if you just need to drop a quick line, go to preacher719@gmail.com. There's a boatload of others, but that's enough for now. And, of course, you know, I'm going to say this. I got about 12 seconds left, so let me say this. In the course of your work week, enjoy your holidays, but keep the pedals to the metal, the pep in your step. Keep that gliding your stride. Enjoy life's ride. Keep the smoking your stroke. Don't you dare let life fall your joke. It takes history. Tomorrow's a mystery, so keep blessing God. And this is the last one you're going to see. On GQ Palace, I'm Elder Ernest E. Richard saying, turn it back into the hands of the moderators.
All right. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Olivia, if you wanted to give your forwarding information.
You can find me on Facebook as the only Olivia K. Davis. I don't get so much into titles because a lot of people get afraid of that. You can find me there. You need to write me. You can write me at P.O. Box 404, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, 35404. If you need to speak to me personally, You can reach me at area code 205-310-1716. We are the founder of Just Jesus Outreach Ministries, reaching the unreached and touching the untouched. And I have truly been blessed this evening.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Author, Minister Weathersby, do you have any phone information?
I can do that, absolutely. I'm on Facebook at Minister Arthur L. Weathersby, and you can reach me by phone. I'm going to give you both two numbers, my home and my cell. Call anytime. Area code 302. I don't even know my home number. Area code 302. Hey, wait a minute. I'm old. Grace and mercy. I'm old. Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Area code 302-691-5043. That's my home number. My cell number is 302-358-9265. Amen. And I wrote that book, Unless God Builds the House. And I got one coming out on a family relationship real soon called Check the DNA, Whatever Happened to We Are Family.
All right now.
Wow. And I'll be calling you because I'm still trying to get you on Friday's show.
We'll do that.
To go on the air and talk about your book. I got your numbers, so I'll be giving you a call shortly to discuss that.
Amen.
Amen. Minister Sanders?
Yes, you can reach me on Facebook, Minister Teresa Sanders. You put Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A, Sanders, S-A-N-D-E-R-S, and Revelation of God's Restoration Ministries. You want to write us, you can write us at P.O. Box 2683, Lancaster, South Carolina. P.O. Box 2683, Lancaster, South Carolina. You can also give me a call on my cell phone at 803-288-3559, 803-288-3559. That same number, if you have a cell number and you'd like to receive mobile alerts for the conferences on Wednesday night, you may send your text your cell number and your name, and let me know that you want to subscribe to the mobile alerts. There is no charge. We have a conference every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you all.
Amen.
So you know, Sister Polite, you guys will be airing on WNAC Radio up here in Connecticut probably Wednesday morning between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So just know that you will hear portions of tonight's programming up here on the New Gospel Exchange. Thank you for the opportunity.
Amen.
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 Minister, Minister Haley and his wife, I don't know if you have any forwarding information that you want to give.
Yes, you can reach me at Minister, M-I-N, period, Haley, Eric Haley, at on Facebook. Also, you can also reach my wife at Keisha Bowman Haley on Facebook. Also, you can also email me at gospelsinger57@yahoo.com. You can also get in touch with my wife at 318-703-9181. We are one, and me and my wife, we're getting ready to branch out and start doing some things for the Lord. Hold on.
Yes, this is Evangelist Haley, and coming to February 8th through 9th here in Louisiana, and I'm trying to get it abroad. We're going to have a young women's conference entitled Will the Real Me Please Stand Up? And we are reaching out to young women ages 18 to 35 and above who are women who are in a spiritual identity crisis. And we are searching, and we want God to move. So if you know any young ladies, and it's not just for the women in the Louisiana area, you have time to book you a flight or whatever, so come on out. I'm going to be getting with Minister T. My husband recommended her to come out to be one of our speakers. We're working on that, and we just look for a mighty move of God, and I really enjoy this session on tonight, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, being back on the air with you and you guys again.
Amen.
We
enjoyed
you too.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Elder Richards.
Yes.
All right, you want to close with a benediction?
Yes. brother.
Of course, I volunteered you, right?
Well, that's quite all right. You know I was going to do it, right, if you need it. Let's go to the throne. Father God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for the great people that have put this program together. We pray your blessing upon this program on a day-to-day basis, that you would not only just increase the listenership, but increase the reachability that they may have. God, thank you for opening the airways that they may be able to go forward and preach the gospel unto all nations, teaching, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father God, bless each and every ministry that's represented on these airwaves today. Bless every individual that is called in today that's had a problem or a concern or something that they wanted to know about or information that they were seeking. Now, Father, as we get ready to part these airwaves and go our different ways, God, we ask that during this holiday season you would elevate and translate that anointing to a higher degree and a higher dimension, that as we come across those who may be hurting, those who may feel like they're without help or without hope, despondent, in despair, in critical situations, spiritually speaking, give us the tongue of the learned, that we may speak a word unto the weary in that due season, Father God. Season our speech with salt, that we may come forth and make them thirsty and say, what must I do to be saved if they're not saved? And what must I do to get closer to God? Father, we thank you for every pastor that's here, every bishop that's here, every prophet that's here, every elder that's here. Even more so, we thank you for GQ Palace, Father God. We thank you for the originator of this program. We thank you for the host of this particular show. Bless them, God. Multiply them in the name of Jesus. They will continue to do your will. Now unto him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, to the only wise God be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now, henceforth, and forevermore. And those on the airwaves listening and able to respond, say amen.
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 Thank you all.
Amen.
Forward to speaking to you guys next week.
God bless you. Looking
God bless you.
God bless you.
Bless you.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Bless you. Bless you.
Witness. Oh, I thank the Lord, yeah.
when the doctor shook his head. Can I get me a witness? It could have been me sleeping in my grave, but Jesus stepped right in, y'all, and he made old death behave. And I come to let you know, cause it could have been me. Oh, I thank the Lord for saving me. He didn't have to do it, but I'm glad about it. Oh, I thank the Lord, yeah, yeah, cause it could have been me. Every time I go down on my knees, I have to tell somebody, it could have been me. Sometime I go in the room and fold my arms. Here's what I say. Lord, I thank you right now. Have anybody ever took the time out to say, Lord, I thank you? When I don't have no money in my pocket, I don't let it bother me, because the Lord said he'll work it out for me. I knew he will. Have anybody been lonely tonight? The Lord said he'll be a company keeper for you in a lonely...